The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. On this edition of Century, psilocybin in Washington State. A bill under consideration by the Washington State Legislature would allow licensed clinicians in that state to administer psilocybin products to qualifying patients. Senate Bill 5921, titled Concerning Psilocybin, was approved by the Senate Committee on Health and Long-Term Care on February 3rd and referred to the Senate Ways and Means Committee. The Health and Long-Term Care Committee held a public hearing on the measure January 27th, so we're going to hear some of that testimony on today's show. Let's start with the bill's lead sponsor, Washington State Senator Jesse Salomon. There were also questions from committee members. We'll hear those as well.
Yes, thank you so much for hearing this bill and having me. My name is Jesse Salomon, State Senator, 32nd District. This is clearly not the first time I've brought a bill on this subject. However, this bill is different. It's a different model. It's more under the medical control approach. So this would simply say that clinicians with current prescribing authority would be authorized to administer and prescribe psilocybin. Why do I keep coming back? Why is this important? This is a medicine that's been around for many thousands of years. There is virtually no known physically lethal or toxic dose. And the thing that excites me about mental health care under this rubric is many times when you have serious trauma, you'll go through talk therapy and struggle to break through or take a very long time to break through to the underlying issues because we have a default mode network or defense system. This has the potential in a few hours to shut off, physically shut off that default system, so that you can access that deep trauma. And when you have behavioral health professionals and clinicians to help you guide through that, you will often see deep, deep results. In fact, you'll hear testimony about a high efficacy for treatment-resistant depression, where the effects last for at least months, and possibly after two sessions, only two sessions, for much longer. I do think, and I do hope, I'll say this, this has the potential to revolutionize the way we treat people. It's not for everybody, but it's a tool that exists, that's been used, and that we've been largely ignoring to our peril. So I hope that you consider this, and you will hear from medical doctors and practitioners shortly. Thank you. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Senator Salomon, for bringing the bill forward. Are there any questions of the prime sponsor on this bill? And Senator Salomon, I'm curious that other states have considered or passed bills actually that pertain to this issue. Is this bill modeled on any of that work?
Yes. So thank you for the question. Two states have passed by initiative psilocybin access. However, this bill is modeled after New Mexico, which was the first state to legislatively pass a full access program. So I figured that was probably the best path. Many other states have done pilot studies, clinical research, things of that nature.
Thank you very much. And seeing no additional questions, we are going, certainly, Senator Christian, you're just under the wire. You have a question.
Sorry about that. Late to the game. Have we done any pilot programs, or do you do any have any bills about pilot programs in the futures or studies?
In this state? So we passed a bill that created a task force to look at the research that's been done, and we have the reports from that. We also funded a $2 million clinical trial for veterans and first responders with co-occurring disorders of alcohol use disorder and PTSD. And that's actually happening now. The actual dosing is happening right now. We should have some of that information in end of 26. But I just want to emphasize that's unique in that it looks at co-occurring disorders as opposed to separating them. But this is by far not the first clinical trial. We have lots of research. We don't really have phase 3 with multiple hundreds of people because it's very hard for a Schedule I drug to get that kind of authorization and funding. I will submit to you that there are many veterans whose lives have been saved from suicide, from using psychedelics and psilocybin, who I've personally talked to and been told that. Combat deaths are 25% of the deaths from post-combat suicide. So PTSD is at least four times more lethal than modern-day combat. speaks for itself. So waiting for 10 or 20 years for the FDA to do this, why? We will lose people.
That was Washington State Senator Jesse Salomon testifying January 27th before the Senate Committee on Health and Long-Term Care regarding SB 5921 concerning psilocybin, of which he's the lead sponsor. Let's hear some testimony from that hearing. We'll start with Brian Kennedy from Marriage and Family Therapy Associates. He's followed by Dr. Darcy Constance, and the segment concludes with Dr. Edward Cates.
My name is Brian Kennedy. I've been in private psychotherapy practice in Olympia for 30 years. 27 years ago, I helped draft the mental health licensure law in my field, and I was on the very first Department of Health Advisory Committee for Mental Health, and I was the chair from 2000 to 2003, if my memory's correct. I take regulation, public safety, and professional accountability very seriously. Thank you. What this bill attempts to do is not radical. It's actually cautious. I've read all the previous iterations of these bills, and I think this one is hitting the mark. It acknowledges that people with serious, often treatment-resistant conditions are already seeking psychedelic interventions, frequently outside regulated medical or therapeutic frameworks. And I think there's an important question. It asks whether the state is better served by ignoring that reality or by creating guardrails. Over the past decade, dozens of my own clients have asked whether there is a safe legal way to access psychedelic psychotherapy. And when I tell them no, many of them seek out unregulated or inadequately trained underground providers. That's not a hypothetical risk. That is current risk. The research base and discipline is substantial and maturing. Prior to 1970, there were over 1,000 studies of psychedelic therapy. That involved roughly 40,000 research participants. That's not hyperbole. In the modern era, 9 clinical trials at major universities have shown meaningful improvements for conditions such as treatment-resistant depression, OCD, cancer-related anxiety, and substance use disorders when psilocybin is delivered with screening, preparation, monitored dosing, and integration, as we heard just a few minutes ago. Serious adverse events are rare in those settings. Today, more than 150 clinical trials are registered on clinicaltrials.gov. 150 currently. And over 400 peer-reviewed articles appear in journals such as the JAMA and the New England Journal of Medicine. 10 major universities, including Columbia, UCLA, UCSF, Berkeley, University of Chicago, CIIS, now offer graduate-level training in psychedelic-assisted therapy. This field is moving towards standards, not away from them. And as you probably will hear today, or you already know, 26 states have pending psilocybin legislation. So finally, I want to highlight behavioral health. Psychedelic therapy is not just about a drug. It's a medicine combined with psychotherapy, including licensed behavioral health clinicians and statute, particularly for assessment, preparation, integration, reduces risks, supports prescribers, and strengthens patient safety without creating new programs or costs. Many of us are already out here, and we're already trained. It's happening. So in closing, this bill does not ask Washington to endorse a substance. It asks whether we want a regulated, clinician-led framework or whether we are comfortable leaving vulnerable people to navigate powerful interventions without standards or accountability. Thank you.
My name is Dr. Darcy Constance. I've been working as a physician in Washington State for close to 20 years. In addition to seeing patients in my private mental health practice, I work as a clinician on a number of psychedelic research trials, including the study referred to by Senator Solomon underway at the University of Washington. Over the last 5 years, I've seen psychedelic medicine move from a niche treatment to something sought out by thoughtful, serious people, from veterans to PTA moms. This bill creates a necessary legal pathway to ensure that those seeking treatment have a safe and accessible option. Over the course of my career, I've seen dramatic improvements in how we treat diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. However, when it comes to mental health conditions, addiction, chronic pain, and neurodegenerative illness, our treatment options have not significantly improved. And these are the conditions for which psychedelic medicine has either shown to be effective or for which we are seeing very encouraging data. In fact, because of this robust data, it is possible we will see FDA approval of some psychedelic medicines for some conditions in the next few years. If that happens, the pathway set out in this bill will remain of essential importance by providing an alternative to the high cost and lack of insurance coverage for newly patented medicines, and by ensuring that research into how best to use these treatments can be affordably expanded. Our citizens are suffering. They are already seeking out and using psychedelic medicines. We owe it to them to offer a safe and legal pathway for care. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your testimony. And I don't see any questions. Oh, certainly. Senator Orwell has a question. Just a moment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for testifying today. What does the course of treatment look like? Is it time limited? Is it ongoing?
Is this a question for me?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so the typical course of treatment looks like initial screening, a full psychiatric and medical history to ensure that a patient is an appropriate candidate for treatment. After that point, they will meet for what we call preparatory sessions to prepare them for the experience. This varies by model, but is usually 2 to 3 sessions. After that time, they will have a dosing day, which usually lasts 6 to 8 hours. Followed by integration sessions to help them integrate the experience and prepare to bring that experience back into their life in ways that will be supported.
Thank you, Chair Cleveland and Ranking Member Mazzal and distinguished members of this committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Edward Cates, and I'm a board-certified family physician with 25 years of primary care experience in Washington State. As you will likely hear today from the academic and scientific community, I wish to speak from the perspective of primary care physician in the trenches. In a typical primary care setting, mental health is no longer a peripheral concern, but a central part of daily practice. Approximately 12 to 16% of all clinical encounters now address mental health concerns. Major depressive disorder is one of the most common diagnoses I manage, affecting roughly 5 to 9% of all adult outpatients I see. Primary care providers manage 80% of antidepressant prescriptions in this country. While we've made great strides in the pharmacologic treatment of depression, nearly 1 in 3 patients diagnosed with major depressive disorder will eventually meet the criteria for treatment-resistant depression. And as you've heard today, contrary to common misconception, psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy has been proven to be both safe and effective when administered in a controlled clinical setting. With trained behavioral health support, it has been proven to provide sustained remission in treating major depression, treatment-resistant depression, and anxiety-related end-of-life illness, with promising studies showing efficacy in other mental health conditions as well, as you've heard today, such as PTSD, anorexia, and others. As a family physician, I'm truly excited to be able to offer this promising alternative to traditional pharmacologic therapy in coordination with qualified behavioral health colleagues. In particular, one exciting aspect of this treatment is that the sustained remission that it provides allows people to wean from their psychotropic medications and go without medications potentially for sustained periods of time. And as I was explaining to Senator Solomon, as a young provider, I used to get excited when I found the right medication for people to put them on. As an experienced provider, I'm far more excited about the ability to withdraw medications for people who have found health. And that is particularly exciting about this this particular process. So in closing, psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy represents a promising advancement in mental health care and for patients who have not responded to traditional treatment. And with proper safeguards and professional oversight, a robust integration therapy, it can provide both safe and effective treatment. And I urge you to move this bill forward. Thank you for your time and consideration.
In that segment, you just heard Dr. Edward Cates. He was preceded by Dr. Darcy Constance, and the segment led off with Brian Kennedy from Marriage and Family Therapy Associates. They testified January 27th before the Washington State Senate's Committee on Health and Long-Term Care in support of Senate Bill 5921 concerning psilocybin. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's hear more. This segment starts off with Rebecca Maines with Botanical Regulatory Consulting. We'll then hear Rachel Cervenak with the Responsible Entheogen Access and Community Health Coalition of Washington, followed by Tamara Greenwell.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rebecca Maines. I own and operate a natural products regulatory consulting firm. I lead the Collin County Psychedelic Society, and I hold a board position with REACH. Although I am in strong support of responsible approaches to medical psilocybin policy, I believe this bill, as it is written, will significantly limit access to psilocybin care. The majority of my professional work involves setting up manufacturing facilities and testing programs for pharmaceutical-grade natural products, which requires investments upwards of $100 million. Senate Bill 5921 applies pharmaceutical manufacturing and testing standards to naturally derived psilocybin. This will result in a system in which psilocybin care will only be accessible to wealthy individuals. Additionally, the bill limits access by not fully respecting local decision-making. It does not extend statutory protections to locally adopted resolutions that decriminalize or deprioritize law enforcement related to natural psychedelics, protecting community-based models of healing. I respectfully urge the committee to oppose or substantially amend Senate Bill 5921. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rachel Cervenak, and I'm a director of REACH Washington. REACH Washington supports a diverse and inclusive ecosystem for psychedelic access, and while thoughtfully designed regulatory pathways can help strengthen that ecosystem, we do not support SB 5921 as it is currently written. Why not? Legalizing medical use without including basic personal and community use protections is a mistake. Colorado, along with multiple Washington jurisdictions, representing roughly 14% of the state's population, has already recognized this reality by removing criminal penalties for psychedelic use. In 2022, Colorado demonstrated that statewide decriminalization is politically viable through the Natural Medicine Health Act. Furthermore, it costs $0 to forage for psychedelic mushrooms that already grow in Washington, sometimes literally in one's own backyard. By contrast, this bill creates a costly regulatory system that many Washingtonians cannot afford to access. We urge you to amend SB 5921 to include personal and community use protections, and we've drafted language and are eager to collaborate. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tamara Greenwell. I'm very nervous. I am a former state communications manager, a foster parent, a licensed psychedelic facilitator, a current master's in social work student, and a cancer survivor. While I survived breast cancer, the fear that I could come back one day really dominated my life. And I found it really hard, quite plainly, to function, even though I'm a survivor. Sorry.
Be sorry. You take your time.
It was only through state-regulated group psilocybin therapy, thanks to a nonprofit called the Survivorship Collective in Oregon, that fear subsided. The healing happened because I was in community, and it felt alive. We had access not to be outside, but we could see outside. My joy came back. My son said it felt so good to hear me laugh again. And I'm still laughing. I think SB 5291 is a necessary evolution of healthcare, mental health care. The National Cancer Institute estimates that 40% of Americans will experience cancer in their lifetime. That's nearly half of the people in this room who have the potential to live with that fear of recurrence, that my body betrayed me and I didn't feel safe in it. And this medicine gave me safety and agency back. So please pass this bill, but consider amendments to expand the workforce to include experts trained in trauma, mental health providers, social workers, LMFTs, and give patients the choice by allowing the setting not just to be clinical, because hospitals and clinics are triggering for a lot of cancer survivors.
In that segment, you heard Tamara Greenwell. She was preceded by Rachel Cervenac from the Responsible Entheogen Access and Community Health Coalition of Washington, and the segment led off with Rebecca Maines from Botanical Regulatory Consulting. They testified January 27th before the Washington State Senate's Committee on Health and Long-Term Care in support of Senate Bill 5921 concerning psilocybin. Now, in this final segment from that hearing, we're going to hear Dr. Rebecca Allen with the Washington State Psychiatric Association, followed by firefighter Matt Thierfelder and retired Marine Matt Kress.
Yes, I'm so sorry I couldn't be there in person. I'm Dr. Rebecca Allen, a practicing physician in Washington State. I specialize in treatment-resistant depression. I'm here representing the Washington State Psychiatric Association. I am the most active psychedelic researcher in the state as principal investigator for clinical trials assessing psilocybin, DMT, LSD, and methylone for treatment-resistant depression, anxiety, PTSD, and adjustment disorder and cancer. I've supervised over 100 psychedelic dosing sessions. I'm addressing this bill, not psychedelics in general or their recreational or future medical use. So this bill is not medical care. When you have no clear indication, no trained mental health or medical person involved, and no discussion of options or pros and cons, that's not medical care. That's not treatment. That's not safe. Second, we have no agreed upon medical contraindications for psychedelics. All the clinical trials have differed a lot in which concurrent medications are safe or not, and which medical conditions are safe or not for people getting different psychedelics. Even within the psilocybin trials, there's a lot of difference in what is considered safe for medications a person can be taking or not taking during the trial. Third, all psychedelic trials have two therapists, one licensed, one assistant, and a physician on site during dosing sessions, regular checking of vital signs, and rescue drugs on hand for issues such as blood pressure, panic attacks, psychosis. This bill has none of that. So yes, there have been a lot of trials on psychedelics. Most of them have been very small. This would be considered a stage of research where everything is really exciting, but it's not actually ready for broad implementation for clinical care, especially when the clinical care proposed doesn't actually involve medical anyone or licensed mental health anyone. So this bill has none of the structure or protections or safety features of these clinical trials that other people who have been testifying have been citing as conclusive evidence that we're there. We're not quite there. And we're not there for different indications in the same way, right? There's more studies on depression than there are on PTSD. There are almost no studies on things like anorexia that was mentioned earlier.
Dr. Allen, if you could wrap up, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. There wasn't a clock that I could see. But it gets really messy really fast, and this bill does not distinguish in a way that would make it good, safe medical care.
Thank you, Chair and Committee, for allowing me to testify today. My name is Matt Thierfelder. I'm here on behalf of myself. I'm also a retired battalion chief from the Vancouver Fire Department, where I served the citizens for 30 years. Over the years, I struggled with some mental health issues. I tried everything that my doctor and therapist had suggested to me, but with not a lot of relief. When Oregon passed Measure 109, I accessed safe, supervised access to psilocybin in a service center, and it dramatically improved my my life. I've seen it dramatically improve the lives of other first responders and vets. I'm also a trained psilocybin facilitator under Oregon's Measure 109 through the Oregon Health Authority. So I understand how this clinical supervised access works inside and out, and it works really well. This isn't a fringe thing anymore. Some of the leading educational institutions in the United States, Stanford, Harvard, Yale, NYU, Johns Hopkins, even Wall Street's heavily invested with hundreds of millions of dollars in the promise and outcomes of these tests. And we are in a healthcare crisis, in a mental health care crisis, especially in the veteran and first responder community. I was at a funeral last week for Jeremiah Friends, a young firefighter in his 30s who committed suicide. What's been offered and what's currently best practices in mental health care is lacking. And could this have helped him? I don't know, but maybe if it was more acceptable and it wasn't as stigmatized and he could have tried this therapy, it might have helped him, but we won't know. So I hope that the committee looks back on this and takes a bold decision and stands with other states and countries that are loosening their thoughts around access with psychedelic-assisted therapy and psychedelics in general, and let the veterans and first responders of Washington State know that you respect their wishes when they want to access this treatment, and they can have safe, legal, supervised access in Washington State. They don't need to travel out of state or out of country. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Matt Kress. I'm grateful that my legislatures are joining the states that have enacted or are considering alternative treatments for behavioral health needs. I'm both a retired military service member with combat experience and a retired first responder. Additionally, I spent several years in a leadership role with a national military mental health provider. After my extensive exposure to tragedy, human suffering, and mortal danger, I needed a way to heal. Like many that have served our country, I turned to traditional medical systems for treatment and healing. I went through several types of therapy and an increasing load of VA-prescribed medications that did little to nothing to help. Like a growing number of service members that are desperate for relief and to live a better life, I made the consequential and necessary choice to go to another country to seek a treatment that is similar to what is being considered today. My ask, as you consider SB 529 as written, that you broaden what is currently a single exclusive medical framework around the medicine that will exclude many of those most in need of healing. Thank you for your time and consideration.
That was retired Marine Matt Kress. He was preceded by retired firefighter Matt Deerfelder. And that segment started off with Dr. Rebecca Allen from the Washington State Psychiatric Association. They testified January 27th before the Washington State Senate's Committee on Health and Long-Term Care in support of Senate Bill 5921 concerning psilocybin. On February 3rd, the Health and Long-Term Care Committee approved SB 5921 on a voice vote with a do-pass recommendation and referred the measure to the Ways and Means Committee. Psilocybin in Washington State and the Pacific Northwest, well, heck, across the whole U.S., is a developing story. When there's more news, we'll report it here, so keep tuning in.
Hey, my name's Dawn Paley. I'm the author of Drug War Capitalism, and I just want to give a shout-out to the people at Drug Truth Network who are doing amazing work to get the stories out. You know, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Talks about trickle-up journalism. I'm a firm believer, you know, like where these stories are being reported first, who's on the ground covering this conference and doing all these interviews. It's Doug McVeigh, Drug Truth Network. So listen up, and thanks again for your so important work in terms of just getting the truth out there and getting these stories, which are just so repressed in the mainstream media, out to the broader public.
Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's Audio Port service. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.